You're listening to the New Point Community Church podcast. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Well, hello, New Point. I'm glad that you're joining us. We're excited about what God has for us, and I want to welcome each and every one of you. I trust that you're adjusting to this crisis that we're in. You know, I'm trying to adjust to it. I'm trying to find a new path, a new way to be able to do life and to be able to settle in. Because the thing about crisis is that they reveal what's really important to us, don't they? I mean, that's what I'm finding out in my life, that there's things that are surfacing in my life that I'm realizing, man, that's really important. And most of them are simple things. And most of them, I have to be truthful with you, you know, I've kind of taken for granted. You know, maybe enjoying a meal in a restaurant, maybe going to the movies, maybe even gathering at a place of worship to be able to celebrate. And feeling the peace that God can give us in the midst of all of that change is unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. And if you're not experiencing it, he wants you to experience it. And so let's don't take those things for granted. Let's just embrace them and maximize them and enjoy them. You see, it's because of God's faithfulness and it's because of his generosity that we are able to enjoy those things. Matter of fact, even right now in the digital world, you know, it's because of God's goodness and God's grace that we're able to continue to have church and celebrate who God is. And I don't want to take that for granted either, because now we can connect with one another. Even though it's through the digital world, we can still connect. And wasn't those great songs? I mean, my spirit just rose, and I trust that yours did too. And there's a great feeling to know that God is watching over you and me. Now, I realize that we're all going through different things in this world. And what I want to share with you today is the ability to experience freedom from fear. Fearless living in a fearful world. Now, I know that some of you watching, you're very fearful because you're not for sure whether your business is going to make it or not. You're facing whether you're going to get the virus or not. You're facing isolation, and maybe you're all alone and you've never experienced that before. Or maybe you are sick and you're wondering if you're going to recover. You see, I think that we can all agree that we live in a fearful world. But what God wants for me and what God wants for you is to be fearless, not reckless, but fearless. You see, everyone on this planet right now is fighting this battle of fear. And it can paralyze us. It can literally choke the life out of us. And God doesn't want that for you, and God doesn't want that for me. He wants you and I to be able to experience freedom from fear. He wants you and I to be able to live fearless in a fearful world. The question is, how do I do that? How do I remain fearless in a fearful world? Because there's a lot of things out there that can cause you and I to be very, very much fearful. Well, I believe it all depends on who we look to lead us through this time. And what I want to encourage you to do is I want to encourage you to look to the Good Shepherd. His name's Jesus. And here's what he said to his friends about 2,000 years ago, because they were engaged in a conversation and they were battling some issues and things, and life wasn't necessarily a bed of roses for them. And here's what he said to them. He said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full." Wow. He says, there's a thief out there that wants to rob you of things, and you need to be aware of him. But I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. And then he says this. He says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And here's what I've come to believe. I've come to believe that you'll only experience that kind of living if you allow the good shepherd to lead you. That's the only way that you and I are going to be able to experience life and life to the fullest. Through all the ups and downs that we go through. You see, Jesus was telling the disciples, he says, hey, I realize that there's a lot of questions that you have. I realize that there's a lot of things that you would like answers to. And right now, I'm not going to be able to give you all the answers to all of your questions. But I am going to give you this. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the one who can give you life and life to the full. You see, he was talking to the disciples and he was encouraging them to follow him because he wanted to make a difference in the world and he wanted to lead them to make a difference in the world. And he wants you and I to make a difference in the world. You see, we're the church. We're called to influence the world. And the only way that I can do it, the only way that you can do it, is if you and I will constantly and consistently be connected and be led by the good shepherd. And when we do that, he'll lead you and I to a life that is full, a life that is complete. But if you and I don't, then the thief will come and he'll bring fear in my life and in your life. You see, the imposter is fear. It's fear. That's the thing that wants to lead you and I through this time. It's fear. And Jesus is saying, I don't want fear to lead you. Because this imposter will do three things. Okay, this imposter will steal your joy. He'll steal your joy. You'll just shrivel up inside. He'll kill your hope. So that what happens is you'll feel hopelessness because fear is just overwhelming you. And he'll destroy your peace. And so Jesus was telling his friends, the disciples, he was saying, hey, there's somebody out there. He's an imposter. It's the spirit of fear. And what he wants to do is he wants to steal your joy. He wants to kill your hope. He wants to destroy your peace. But I'm the good shepherd. I want to lead you through life. I want to lead you through this season. And I want to give you life. Life. And life to the full. You see, here's what I believe, and I believe we're in the midst of this. I believe that we're in the season of this. And we have to understand this, that fear is an opportunity to either sin or trust God. Now, what does it mean to sin? It means to try to meet legitimate needs in illegitimate ways. That means that we're so full of fear that we take matters into our own hands. And we try to do this, and we try to control this, and we try to dominate that, and we try to ignore this. Or we can trust the good shepherd. And what I want us to do is to trust the good shepherd because he's promised something to you and I. He's promised life, not only life, but he's promised life to the full. So let me ask you a question today. What are you afraid of? Because we're living in a fearful world. And I want to help you to be fearless in this fearful world. So we have to identify what we're afraid of. You know, maybe you're afraid of the unknown. Just like I said, maybe you have a business or maybe you are struggling in some areas of finances or maybe you're struggling in the area of health, the unknown, and you're just not for sure what is out there. Or maybe it is finances. Maybe finances is something that you're worried about. You're saying, how are we going to make the house payment, the mortgage? How am I going to continue to pay the bills? Or maybe it is sickness. You know, I know every time I cough or every time I sneeze, I wonder, uh-oh, am I getting this? Huh? And that fear wants to creep in. Or maybe it's death. You know, am I going to be one of those numbers? Is it going to kill me? And so we have to be able to identify the fear, because here's what I know about fear. Fear in the mind causes stress in the body. Fear in the mind causes stress in the body. And what happens is when fear begins to dominate us, there's things that start to manifest in our life and really in our body. Ulcers, eating unhealthy, can't sleep, stomach issues, headaches, depression, maybe drinking too much. By the way, I was doing some reading on this and I found out that one of the ways in which America is dealing and coping with this virus is booze. Nelson says that alcohol sales are up 243%. Wow. They're being led by the imposter, fear, and trying to drink it away, trying to put it away. And it just doesn't work. Doesn't work. There's someone better. There's something better than that. And that's the Good Shepherd. You see, here's what he says to you and me. And this is why he can give you and I life and life to the fullest. He's talking to his disciples again, and he says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry. Another word for being fearful. Do not worry. Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, or what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Then he says this. He says, consider the ravens or the birds. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. They don't hoard things. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than the birds? Wow. Who of you, by worrying, by being fearful, by being anxious, can add a single hour to your life? You know what he's saying? How is fear going to help you? Is it going to help you? No, it's not going to help you. What did he say? Here's what Jesus said. He said, and which of you, by being anxious or by worrying or by being fearful, can add a single hour to his span of life? You see, stress doesn't help you. It doesn't fix our situation. It doesn't fix our problem. It just doesn't. You see, fear is not always a sin, but it's always an opportunity to trust God. And we're in a time frame right now. We can sin and kind of take matters into our own hands and allow fear to just run crazy in our life. Or we can say, hey, you know what, God? I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe in you. I'm going to surrender to you. I'm going to allow you to be that good shepherd that takes care of me. You see, otherwise, fear will take hold of you and me. Inappropriate fear. Inappropriate fear will come into your life, because here's what you need to understand. God has given us a gift, and it's called fear. Okay? There's two levels of fear, falling and loud noises. And we're called to fear God. But what has happened is Satan has taken fear and he's twisted it. Just like God has given us the gift of sex, and many times that has been twisted, okay? Satan has taken fear and twisted it to steal our joy, to destroy our peace, to kill our hope. And so what happens is many times fear in your life and fear in my life becomes very, very inappropriate. And what we need to understand is this: inappropriate fear can breed more fear. Do you know that this virus that we're facing, coronavirus, is not the only threat that we face today? Do you know that every single day you and I potentially face life-threatening situations? Every time you get into a car, it's a life-threatening situation. There's many people who get killed in car accidents, heart disease, cancer. It's just there. And whatever fear you feed, guess what? It continues to grow. Today it's the coronavirus. Tomorrow it could be something completely different. And yet what happens is fear has a tendency to breed more fear. That's why I'd be careful to guard what I hear, what I watch. Because if it's fear, it's just going to continue to breed more and more fear in you. Inappropriate fear also can cloud our judgment. Have you ever tried to make a good decision when you were full of fear? You know, most of the time when we do that, you know what? It leaves a trail of what? Regrets. Because I know that there have been times in my life of where I've made decisions out of fear. And later, I regretted it. You know why? Because I didn't have the right perspective. It clouded my judgment. And inappropriate fear can cloud our judgment, cause us to do things that otherwise we wouldn't do. It also can redirect our energy. Now, this isn't just a thought. This is science. Anxiety produced by fear redirects our physical, emotional, and mental strength in our lives. That can leave us paralyzed. That can just leave us frozen. Have you ever been paralyzed by fear? Sure you have. I think we all have, if we're honest. And that's because fear can redirect our energy. Inappropriate fear also is a vision without hope. It's a vision without hope. Have you ever had a view with no light at the end of the tunnel? And I'm not talking about a train, okay? You see, fear never produces hope. It's a vision without hope. You don't see anything change. You don't have any hope that things are going to be different. And so what happens is this fear just comes and it chokes the joy, it chokes the hope and peace out of our life. Inappropriate fear is not always rational. Would you agree with me? But it's definitely powerful. Oh, my lands. You know, if you have any kids, you know this, all right? Because no doubt you've walked with your kids through this of where maybe your son or daughter has come running to your bedroom and they say something like this, "Hey, mommy, hey, daddy, hey, there's a monster underneath my bed." And though that's irrational, to them it's real and it's powerful. And many of us, we think that we've outgrown that stage. And yet the fact of the matter, many times our fears, though they're irrational, can be very, very powerful. And they dominate our life. They choke that joy, that peace, that hope out of us. How about this one right here? Inappropriate fears turns us into false prophets. Turns us into false prophets. You know, everybody is saying what the future is going to be like. Would you agree with me? You know what it does? It causes fear. For those of you who are old enough, you remember Y2K? You know, everybody was saying, well, you know what? Life as we know it is going to end. All the computers in the world are going to crash because they don't know how to read 2000. There's not going to be any power. Okay, so stock up on food, toilet paper, water, and when the clock strikes midnight, guess what? It's going to be over. What happened? It came, it passed, and nothing happened. Why? Because fear can project a future that never comes to pass. Wow. And again, when I'm talking about being fearless, I'm not talking about being reckless. I'm just telling you that fear is powerful, and it can lead us down a path that we don't want to go. You see, fear, irrational fear, invites us to follow the path of self-preservation. And what happens is we just look inward, and we're just wanting to take care of ourselves. Matter of fact, I was reading about why everybody's buying the toilet paper. Do I have your attention now? I'm going to tell you why everybody is buying the toilet paper. Here's the reason why this person said. They said it psychologically. a problem, because what happens is people want to be in control. And so if they can go and buy all of this, in their mind, they're thinking that they're in control. And then when other people hear about it, the fear of scarcity gets them. And so they say, oh, my lands, I don't want to be without any toilet paper. And so I'm going to go buy more. And what happens is fear follows the path of self-preservation. And nothing is more destructive than our ability, okay, to go that route. Because then what happens is we get consumed with ourselves, and that fear causes you and I to only think about us when there's all kinds of other people around that we're called to help and we're called to serve. And so Jesus would say, I'm the good shepherd. I want to give you life. I want to give you life to the full. Follow me. But there's a thief out there, okay? And you're either going to follow me or you're going to follow that imposter fear. He's going to steal your joy, and he's going to kill your hope, and he's going to destroy your peace, and I don't want that for you. See, Jesus was constantly drilling this into his disciples, because he knew that life was hard, that difficult, and that things like this happen. One time he was talking to them and he said this. He said, do not be afraid, there's our word, of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both your soul and your body in hell. He said, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body but can't touch your soul. Fear only God. Fear only God. What's he saying? He's saying, follow God. Put God in his rightful place. Fear him. And that fear is a reverence. It's a sense of great respect. It's like, you're smarter than me. You're more powerful than me. You're all-knowing. And I'm going to follow you. I'm going to submit to you. I'm going to yield to you. And that's what God is asking of you and me. He's saying, will you follow me? I'm the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. And so I want to encourage you to live fearlessly in a fearful world, because here's the question that I have for all of us. And it's this right here. When the story of the COVID-19 is just a story, okay, we will tell what? What will we tell? What will your story be when the COVID-19 story is over? What's your story going to be? See, you and I are making decisions every single day. I'm making them and you're making them. All throughout this crisis. And guess what? We're developing a storyline. One that we're going to tell our kids. One that we're going to tell our grandkids. One that we're going to tell our friends. We're writing a story every single day. And what happens if we're not careful, we can retreat back to our fears. And when we retreat back to our fears, this means that we lose the opportunity, listen to me, this means that we lose the opportunity to do something extraordinary. See, the reason why Jesus talked this way to the disciples was because in a crisis, people look for leaders. Leaders who are courageous. Leaders who have that inner strength. Leaders who can say, follow me. And that's why he said, hey, don't fear the one who can kill the body only. Fear the one who can kill the body and put the soul in hell. And so it is with you and me. And so what's the solution, you might say? Dwight, okay, what? I see all the damage that fear can do and can bring. All right, and Dwight, I just want you to know I am fearful, okay? So what's the solution? I'm going to give it to you. Here it is. You ready? Fear not. Oh, you got to be kidding me, Dwight. Come on. It's got to be more than that. No, fear not. Do you know that that is the most frequently command in the Bible? 365 times. I don't know. I don't find it ironic that we have 365 days in a year. But God says, fear not. And so if he's saying it that often and that frequent, you know what? It must be really, really important. But here's what we have to understand when he says, fear not. It's more than a command. It's an invitation. See, when God says, fear not, he is saying, I'm present with you. I'm here with you. It's not just about facing a fear. It's about you realizing that I'm there with you. I'm the good shepherd. You see, fear makes us forget that God is near. And that's why he says, fear not, fear not. See, it's all throughout Scripture. And I would encourage you to read Scriptures, because when I get fearful, when I battle my fear, I go back and I read these incredible stories of where God tells people to fear not. And it started in the garden with Adam. Adam sinned, and so he hid himself. And God asked him, why did you hide? And he said, because I'm afraid. And so what did God do? God pursued him. God pursued him. Why? Because God doesn't want any of us to be afraid. Matter of fact, God's word says that he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And today, guess what? Maybe you've been hiding from God because you have sinned. And you're thinking, man, I don't want to even go near God. And yet, you know what? You've joined us today. And it's because God's pursuing you. And he's saying to you, fear not. I'm present. I'm with you. He did it with Moses. We sung about that, splitting the Red Sea open. You see, God told Moses, he said, I want you to go to Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world. And I want you to do X, Y, and Z. And I want you to tell him to let my people go. Moses gave all kinds of excuses. And here's God's answer to him. My presence will go with you. Moses was saying, how am I going to lead these people? How am I going to be able to talk to the most powerful man in the world? How am I going to do all this that you want me to do? I'm scared. I'm fearful. I don't even speak very well. God said, my presence will be with you. Fear not. You see, Jesus tells us if you know the truth will what? The truth will set you free. And what happens is this. Satan wants to come to you and tell you lies. That right now God has abandoned you. That all the resources have to come from you. And that you're not going to make it. And that you're going to be alone. And life is just going to come to an end. And what the good shepherd is saying to you is, fear not. I'm with you. Now, I know that maybe for some of us here today, theologically, we know that. You're saying, yeah, God, I know that God is with me. But practically, when fear takes over, we quickly forget that God is there, and we quickly forget how great he is and how good he is and how generous he is. Think with me about Mary, teenager. The Holy Spirit comes upon her and she becomes pregnant. Think of that. Worst case scenario. She could have been killed for being pregnant as a teenager. And you know what God said to this teenager? Fear not. Fear not. See, the worst case scenario is that you and I go and be with Jesus. That's not all bad, is it? Huh? It's not all bad. See, Jesus came and he was crucified on a cross. And guess what? The disciples were full of fear. And they scattered and they ran. And then on the third day, and we're going to celebrate that next week, and I hope that you'll join us on that. Jesus Christ conquers death and sin and comes back. And he says, I am alive and I've conquered death. Fear not. So what happens is you and I sometimes, we have to come back and we have to hit the reset button on the worst case scenario. And what's the worst case scenario? Let's go to the worst case scenario. Dwight dies and he goes to heaven. He goes to be with Jesus. Not a bad thing, right? Not a bad thing. And so when Jesus rose from the dead, one of the first things he said to his disciples was, fear not, fear not. And then he said, I will always be with you even until the end of the age. And so scripture tells us over and over again, fear not. But you see, we have a tendency to forget. And so God says it 365 times, fear not, fear not. I'm always with you. And I want you to remember that today. If you forget everything else that I say, I want you to remember this. This is what God is saying to you. Fear not, for I am with you. You see, what happens many times in moments like this is our faith often deteriorates when our circumstances deteriorate. When things don't go according to our plan and everything begins to shake, what happens is our fear begins to rise and our faith begins to shrink. And so I want you to ask yourself today, who are you following? Are you following the imposter of fear, or are you following the good shepherd? The good shepherd. David wrote the 23rd Psalm, and I want to leave you with this today, because this is what the good shepherd offers you and me. And when we allow him to lead us, guess what? We will lead fearlessly in a fearful world. Let me just run through it with you, okay? He says, the Lord is my shepherd. You know what he offers us? Security. Security. He offers you and me security. Because guess what? He's my shepherd. It signifies a deep personal relationship. He goes on to say this. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I will lack nothing. What's he offer you and I? Provision. Provision. He offers you and I provision. He says, you know what? You follow me and I will make sure that all of your needs are met. I don't have to worry about toilet paper. Y'all okay? All of my needs will be met. Goes on and he says, he makes me lie down in green pastures and he leads me beside quiet waters. You know what that is? Rest. You know, for some of us, God has to make us lie down. You know, for some of us, he has to do it in such a way that he gets our attention. And I think he is. Whether we like it or not, you need rest. I need rest. And we're experiencing that. He goes on to say this. He says, he restores my soul. Oh, wow. He restores my soul. That's restoration. You see, your soul is your mind. It's your will. It's your feelings. And those can get wrecked in moments like this, in times like this. And he says, you know what? I'm going to restore your soul. I'm going to bring restoration to your mind and to your feelings, your emotions, and to your will. And no matter how lost you feel, okay, he wants to be able to restore you in that. And then he goes on and he says, he guides me in the right paths for his name's sake. He gives me guidance. Anybody need that? God, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to respond. I don't know whether to say yes. I don't know whether to say no. I don't know whether to hit the pause button. He's our daily guide. And then David continues and he says, and even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Guess what? He offers us his presence. Even if you go through the valley of the shadow of death, Dwight, you don't have anything to fear. Guess what? I'm with you, man. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. You have nothing to be afraid of. And then he goes on to say this. He says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This is protection. Rod and staff is there for guarding and protecting and directing. And so what he says here is he says, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to fend off all of those things that want to come and bring fear into your life. Then he goes on and he says this. He says, you prepare a banquet for me in front of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. He gives us confidence. He says, you know what, Dwight? I'm the good shepherd. And I'm going to give you confidence of where you can even sit among your enemies and be at peace and enjoy a meal. Wow. And then he goes on. And he says this, he says, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. You know what that is? That's favor. God says, hey, you know what? My goodness, my favor will follow you all the days of your life. You know what he's saying? I'm for you. I'm going to take care of you. My goodness, my love will always be with you no matter where you go. And then he says this. He says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know what that is? Heaven. Heaven. See, the good shepherd offers you and I incredible, incredible, incredible benefits. So let me close with this. So who are you going to follow? The thief, which is fear, or the good shepherd who brings life and hope and joy and peace? I want you to listen to the song that the band is going to play. And it's a powerful, powerful song. And it talks about David living out the 23rd Psalm. And today, God wants to be your shepherd. And you can allow him to be your shepherd by just saying a simple, life-transforming prayer. God, as much as I know how and as much as I understand, I invite you into my life. I want you to be the forgiver of my sins and the leader of my life, the shepherd of my life. And when that happens, guess what? He'll bring confidence. And here's what he says to you and me today. Fear not. For I am with you. Let's pray. God, we thank you today for who you are. And God, I realize that we all battle fear. The enemy wants to come and bring fear upon us and steal our joy and kill our hope and destroy our peace. And God, I know all throughout this audience that's joined us, that we're all battling different issues and you're very much aware of them. And you're saying to us, fear not, for I am with you. You're telling us that as long as you are present in our life, that we have the ability to be able to face and handle anything that life throws at us. We thank you today for being the good shepherd. And today we want to choose to follow you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to subscribe through iTunes. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.